go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Yes, before anyone asks, this program is live. It is, in fact, the 14th day of April, 2017. That means it's a Friday, which means that, in turn, it is Friday on the front porch. Throw the third switch, Bob. Okay. So everybody hears the drum loop now, and now that I'm actually sending, I will say, yes, this stream is live, this program is live. It is Friday, the 14th day of April, 2017. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Sorry about last night, but, and, you know, I'm not saying that every week is going to be a four-day week. I'm saying I can't predict when these things hit, but that all I know is that when they do, if I don't get horizontal in a hurry and just rest and rest my innards, it'll be a three-day week or a two-day week or a one-day week or a no-program week. That's what happened last night. I was all fired up and ready for Thorn in the Side Thursday. And then my innards said, no, let's not. I said, but we gotta. And my innards said, do we really have to prove to you? And so I took them at their word. Because they are not. They have proven to be trifled with. So that's why no program last night. Oh, just a minute, let me send a message. That's why no program last night. And hopefully folks will begin to get the program now, and we won't have server issues. Because I'm really not okay with that, server issues. Answering emails now. Okay, so I'm seeing White Rose just started. Anybody want to tell me you're getting the program just so that I can stand down from sweat condition alpha, please? All right, thank you, VT Blom. All good on TuneIn. I needed to hear that. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, live 5 minutes after the hour. Much obliged. I threw the third switch about 3 minutes ago. Dadgummit, Marty. It's internet latency, okay? But, no, this program's live, and we are at mid-month. If you would like to be part of a wild and rollicking, merry, zany, wacky, multimedia real-time experience, well, head on over to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in. There you will be met by Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Larmar and Richard and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan and Texas T and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator on a lovely sunny day on his front porch, has decided to fold space and become Man Cave. It is Friday on the front porch, which means here in about 54 minutes or so, 55 minutes, 56, depending on how long the filibobster lasts, we will... Oh, where'd that come from? A yawn? Well, I've gone from putting y'all to sleep to putting me to sleep. We will fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable, in which we have many participants. Pretty much as many as who do wish to participate. And so, consequently, if you have never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, well, you'll want Skype, and in turn, you will then want to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, one word, SparkyDunc. And Sparky will then show you the breadcrumb trail and flash the bob signal off the clouds for you so that you can find your way into this most unique of little broadcast ideas. And the idea of having several people all together sharing their impressions, their thoughts, issues that matter to them, that sort of thing. And, I would have been especially bummed out if I had missed this Friday on the front porch. It is, in fact, a highlight of my week. Okay, I didn't realize the first R in Larmar, which actually means Lamar. Who knew there were silent R's? But I will remember that in the future, and thank you, thank you. Headley. Exactly. So, thanks for everybody letting me know that I am on the air. Thanks to Steve and Marty and Jack and Sylvia and Billable Rick and Asa and Les. Thanks all very kindly. All right, so you know the next thing that comes after the invitation into the chat room. That is the reminder that this is a listener-supported broadcast. And it is a listener-supported broadcast that we really try to keep among the least financially intensive of any out there. Oh, great, it's spring. We're going to do the sneezing thing, too. Beautiful. Well, anyway, this is a listener-supported broadcast. And we try to raise $200 every night to keep all the bills paid and keep things going. It's been a slow week on Mount Colby Gone. And so, consequently, the fundraising goal for this evening is $510. $10 at 51, $51 at 51 people at $10 a piece, one at 510, two at 255. Oh dear, four at 127.50. The eight part's going to get painful, so, right. But anyway, we need to raise $510 to finish even on this week and even going into the middle of the month. I realize that this is Monday, well, tomorrow's the 15th, so that means Monday is tax day. I know, and I'm sorry. But, you know, it is what it is. So we will we'll hopefully get there and not start on tax day hollering up for Lassie to go find somebody because the horn is down a well. Okay, so where's my head today? Well, yesterday it was all Moab all the time. Now, from where I stand, and there were lots of theories about why the terrifying toddler Trump decided to drop a Moab on Afghanistan when we had never dropped one before, even when we were trying to get the that 6 foot 6 inch Saudi trailing the portable dialysis machine. But there's this. And maybe it makes sense to you, maybe it doesn't. It makes sense to me. Doesn't necessarily make it easier to sleep at night, but at least it provides me some degree of something vaguely approximating hope. It's this. You know, Marcus Aurelius makes reference to my generals, my army, my navy, my armada, my submarines. So we kind of know where his spirochete-riddled head is in that regard. Well, my personal theory is that what he really wanted to do, I mean, sparsely populated border area between Afghanistan and Pakistan, right? I mean, hell, we dropped the Moab and it only killed 36 people. So that got me to thinking about, well, you know, what was the point? Well, the fact is, I'm convinced that Geezer Disgustus actually wanted to use a nuke. You know, a nuclear explosive device. Maybe airdropped or submarine launched or who knows. We don't put those on cruise missiles anymore, supposedly. But he wanted to use a nuke just to show people that, by God, he was willing to use one. Because, you know, he's been... Do you remember back during months ago, which feels surprisingly like years ago, when he said, what's the point in having nuclear weapons if you can't use them? Right? Well, I think he said he wanted to use a nuke. And I think the generals said to him, no, Donnie, look over here. Look at this big, shiny Moab. Mother of all bombs. Nobody's ever used one of those, Donnie. Mr. President. You could be the first. You could be the first to ever Moab a country. Wouldn't that be awesome for you? What a legacy, Donnie! Is it a big, beautiful Moab? Is it going to make a big bang, a big boom? Oh, yeah, Mr. President. Oh, bada boom, bada boom. Okay. Then we won't, because somebody else has already dropped a nuke before. But nobody's ever used a Moab. Mm-hmm. And that's how a remote, sparsely populated corner of Afghanistan managed not to be the third place on Earth ever to have an atomic device dropped on it as an act of open hostility or warfare. You have to put that caveat on it because we and the Soviets and the French and the British have all nuked our own people or our own lands and by extension people at one time or another. And so, by way of sending a message to Kim Jong-un, I can't keep up. I know Kim Il-sung was the first one, but after that, the nut job with the poorly tailored suit. The hope was that would suffice. And that's why we're sitting here today talking about Moabs instead of kiloton yields. Maybe I'm wrong, but it makes way too much sense for me. And then I was talking to some of my friends here in the struggle against the ongoing destruction of Appalachia. And that's when I found out that every day in Appalachia, coal companies use the explosive force of 55 Moabs on us. Mm-hmm. Because in point of fact, a 23,000-pound bomb is a pissant explosion on a mountaintop removal site. A little one. A baby one. A hardly even worth doing. It's that small. But of course, most people don't know that. They don't know much, really, about mountaintop removal at all. And they know less about Appalachia generally. Ain't that where the hillbillies are? And whatever they know, they care even less. Because if you cared about, not you, if Americans cared about their fellow citizens, they wouldn't tolerate this. They would demand that it cease. But they don't, and it doesn't. So I came up with a plan. Definitely a plan. We need to withdraw the United States military from Afghanistan in total. Now, all you had to do was pay attention during the presidential campaign And you would have known that Appalachia was just chock-a-block with pure out-of-work miners who were economically anxious. So what we need to do, and we might have to lie a little bit in this regard, what we need to do is we need to tell Alpha Natural Resources and Arch Coal and Peabody Energy that there's coal in them thar Afghan hills. Billions and billions of tons of beautiful coal. And then Arch and Peabody and Alpha Natural Resources, formerly known as Massey Energy, will run lickety-split to Afghanistan, and in about 10 years' time, there won't be any mountains left over there. And there won't be any terrorists either, because there won't be any people, because the people will have been killed off just like they've been doing here in Appalachia. That is a very cynical theory, isn't it? Of course, the reality is that there's all kinds of stuff under the ground in Afghanistan. And that's why we're still there. Because as long as we can point to one disaffected, dyspeptic Afghan and say, God damn it, he's a terrorist, then we've got a reason to keep the United States military sitting on top of a lot of mineral wealth until such time as the Masseys and the Peabodys and the Arches and the Rio Tintos can get with it and start blasting and gouging and digging and destroying that particular little corner of the planet. This is not to say I'm pro-war. I'm sickened by it. Especially to the extent that what happened in Afghanistan constituted Comrade Kumquat trying to convince us that he's got a big swinging dick. It's disgusting. But that's what it looks like from here in Appalachia. 23,000 pounds. Call me back when you get serious. Right? So this 14th day of April 2017 is something the Christians like to call Good Friday. I'm having a hard time finding anything good about it, except the fact that we're hanging out together. It's the best part of what has been only a so-so Friday. So, but it's not Good Friday in the Orthodox world. I just want to make sure that we understand that. Because of somebody didn't shake hands with somebody or bow properly or maybe use the right pronoun 1,000 years ago, the church split into two pieces. The Roman Catholic Church in the West and the Orthodox Church in the East. It could very well be that part of the reason they split was because they couldn't decide when Easter was. Because Easter won't happen in the Orthodox world for another month, month and a half. Same thing with Christmas. And they will, by God, if we gave them their heads, they would be more than willing to slaughter thousands, tens of thousands more people over, you know, when to celebrate Christmas and Easter. So, yeah, Good Friday. Yesterday was like maudlin Thursday or something. And, you know, with my gut acting up, I felt pretty maudlin. But this is also the time of year when I haul out and dust off a very tired old joke. It's my favorite Easter joke. It has to do with a retired Roman Catholic priest. Back as the 19th century was turning into the 20th century, and there was a flood of immigrants going through Ellis Island. And the old priest retired in the old country. And at his late age, he decided he would immigrate. So he too got on a boat and came across, went through Ellis Island, and he settled in Newark. But he was a good man of the cloth, and he felt like he still had some usefulness in him. And so he looked at the huddled masses newly over from Italy, and he asked himself, you know, what good can I do for these my fellow immigrants? And so there in the church hall, he began to offer English lessons every week. It's what they needed most. They needed food in their bellies, they needed a roof over their heads, and they needed to be able to communicate with the people in their new country. And so week after week, they learn a little more English. They learn a little more English, a little more English. The old priest tries to keep it topical. So about this time of year, he was holding class. And he said, "Now, class, we're going to talk about Easter. Who here can tell me about Easter?" Of course, Easter's not a word that they recognized. Young mother, raised her hand, and he said, "Maria, tell me about Easter." And she said, "Easter, that's at that time in the year when it's so hot into the summertime, and a big brass band to play, and going at a parade down to the city street, and at night at the fight they shoot off at a firework." And he said, no, Maria, that's the 4th of July. That's when we celebrate the birth of our new country." So he says, "Who else? Easter. What's Easter mean?" Young Mario sticks up his hand. He's the brother of Maria. And he says, "Easter. That's at that time of the year when it's so cold into the winter. And a big fat man in a red suit coming down at a chimney and to give a gift to good little girl and boys." He says, no, that's Christmas, Mario. That's when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's used to dealing with a little bit of disappointment, the old priest is. But still, it hurts. He's remembering Easter's past in the old country. And finally, old Nunzio sticks his shaking hand, raises his shaking hand above his head, and The old priest says, "Nunzio, you tell us about Easter." And Nunzio says, "Many, many years ago, the Romans, they nail up of Jesus Christ, our Lord and the Savior, on the cross. And they let him hang there till he die. And once he's dead, they take him down. They wrap him up and they put him in a cave." And the old fire, the old light is back in the old priest's eye, and he says, "Yes, yes, Nunzio, go on."
3 days later.
"Yes, Nunzio."
"Jesus of Christ."
"Go on."
"He get up. He rise from the dead. He's as alive as you and me."
"Yes, Nunzio. Yes, yes. Finish the story. Finish the story of Easter, Nunzio."
"He walk out under God's blue sky."
"Yes, Nunzio."
"He look around. He alive."
"Yes, Nunzio." "Then he look down on the ground. He see his shadow. He run back in. Don't come out. 6 more week." Got to go a long way for that story. But that is my favorite Easter joke. And we tell it around here. Tell it around here this time. Every year. Soon the grandbabies will be old enough to tell the story too. Maybe someday they'll tell the story. And who knows, 1,000 years or so from now, when the aliens have landed from Norblap 9, maybe it'll become a part of some sacred canon. Who knows? That's how religions work, you know. Of course it is. Sorry, couldn't resist. We are at about the 33 minutes past the hour mark. And I want to thank everybody for jumping in, getting us started. Thank you to Texas T and Frank. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you very much to Charlene and to GK. That, let's see, that takes us from... takes us down to $330 to go, fundraising. Thank you very much indeed. And a challenge just landed, courtesy of Steve and Ms. Karen, and Cletus. Cletus is a good puppy. And Twiggy. Twiggy's a good puppy, too. And answering that challenge, $30, will take us down to $270. So thank you very much in advance. Maybe we can knock this down. It's been a bizarre week, hasn't it? This in from Glenn: Easter canceled. Subject line: they found the body. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Nice punchline. Perhaps not worth the long way to get there, though. Amen and hallelujah. He is risen. It's no fun if you don't turn it into a Shaggy Dog story. You got to have the characters. It's no fun as a riddle. You got to admit, the old priest and Nunzio, they came to life for you, didn't they? Because it's theater of the mind. A quick population note. According to Amy Goodman's guests, the area where we dropped the Moab is more populated than we're told. Well, it's kind of like Appalachia that way. If you ask a coal company about where they're blasting, oh, well, there's nobody lives around there anymore. You know, except the people that are breathing the damn dust. But it was. It was a bizarre week. It is both, and this doesn't happen all the time. It's both Easter week and Passover. I think Passover ends on the 18th. Easter, of course, arrives on the 16th. Originally, according to the Gospels, you know, the whole crucifixion thing goes down during Passover week. It's one of the things I never understood. If that's the case, then why don't we just time Easter by when Passover is? Because that's how it timed out. But never mind. But we had the bizarre business of Sean Spicer and Hitler didn't gas his own people and Holocaust Center, and we learned all kinds of new ways of thinking about genocide. And at the same time we were talking about that, and at the same time that we were also talking about the United Airlines outrage, turns out a couple of more people of color, men of color, were having the stuffing beaten out of them for the crime of LWB, living while black. Yeah. Somehow the for-profit media missed that. Lawrenceville, Georgia being one of the cases, in which a pair of cops were caught lying outright and on video showing them sucker punching a guy and then stomping him in the head while he was laying on the ground defenseless. To the credit of the city of Lawrenceville, Georgia, both cops were fired. None of this administrative leave bullshit, none of this paid vacation crap. They were fired. Now, bear in mind, they're probably members of the cop union, so that probably means that they will get to appeal, and maybe the city of Lawrenceville will be compelled to take them back onto the force so they can stomp some more defenseless heads, or maybe they'll have to pay money to the fired cops for having so offended them by catching them lying about assaulting black people. Which takes us to North Carolina Stan, where a Republican member of the State House there by the name of Larry Pittman, who represents a community called Concord, not Concord, Concord, got to say it that way, North Carolina, went on his social media after he had introduced a bill in the North Carolina House that instructed the state of North Carolina to tell the U.S. Supreme Court to go piss up a rope and to ignore the Obergefell decision and ignore the fact that gay people getting married is legal in all 50 states. Okay? I mean, this is where this story begins. That would be, it's kind of a dog bites man story at that point, isn't it? I mean, this is what good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, re-pig-licking members of legislatures do. But that isn't where the story ends. Somebody commented on his Facebook page and told him to, you know, look, gay marriage is legal, get over it. At which point, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, repig-licking, representing Larry Pittman, started typing. Dear Lord, he started typing. And if Hitler had won, should the world just get over it? Lincoln was the same sort of tyrant and personally responsible for the deaths of over 800,000 Americans in a war that was unnecessary and unconstitutional. Got that? Hitler to Lincoln in a Nazi second. Lincoln, same sort of tyrant as Adolf Hitler. And then there's the deaths of over 800,000 Americans part. No, it's about 600,000, one. And two, 300,000, roughly, of those who died, I know, we've been over this, were in fact Americans. Including the freed people of color who fought under the Stars and Stripes. The other 300,000 dead, well, they had declared themselves by taking up arms against the United States to not be Americans anymore. They were Confederates, and they died traitors. And this is where the historical revisionists and the heritage not hate types and the sons of Confederate veterans get all pissy. But the fact of the matter was, if they were all Americans the whole time, then why did their citizenships have to be restored to them, the ones who survived after the war? Why did they have to sign a loyalty oath saying, okay, I'm done committing treason now? And then there's the idea that this, that little dust-up was unnecessary. Kind of depends on which angle you're looking at it from, doesn't it? The people who were being held in bond servitude certainly saw it as necessary. And then the unconstitutional part? Now, that's where it gets a little legalese-ish. Lincoln considered himself to be putting down a rebellion, not fighting a war that needed a declaration from the Congress. You know, and there was precedent for that. George Washington putting down the Whiskey Rebellion, for instance. But, you know, that was going on this week. Of course, the state of North Carolina shares a common border with the Commonwealth of Virginia, where they've got themselves a governor's race going on. This Virginia is one of those states that has off-year gubernatorial elections. And over on the Republican side, they've got a couple of different candidates vying. Watching a spider go across the ceiling right now. Trying to decide whether to fuck with my karma and smush it. Or whether something awful would probably befall me in the process. Well, damn it. We told Sparky to kill the rats. I think it's incumbent on me to kill the spider. Oh, that was gooey.
That's just nasty.
But anyway, they've got Republicans running for the nomination. One of those gubernatorial candidates is Cora Stewart. And he's a Trumpanzee trying to ride on the Trump train coattails. And so it was that not too awfully long back, Cora Stewart was invited to the Old South Ball in Danville, Virginia, where he offered a speech to the faithful. See, you got to understand, what he said to him is a sure enough, guaranteed, surefire vote getter in a place like Old Virginia, in amongst the Republican types. And that's when that and after he'd been there for a while, drinking of the mint juleps and whatnot. Well, they asked Cora Stewart to come up and say a few words. Oh, there was ladies there in satin hoop skirts, and Confederate battle flags festooning the place, a biggin' hanging from the ceiling, even. Well, Cora was more than happy to comply. Hockey puck.
You know, when you travel around America, no matter where you go in the world, and somebody asks you where you're from, you say with pride, I am from Virginia. I'm from Virginia. And you know something? What is it about Virginia that makes us special? What is it?
First colony of Virginia, the first colony of America.
This is it.
This is where it all started.
This is where it all started. It's where it all started.
Yeah, never mind those Spaniards that had pretty much been in the what was called then the New World for over 100 years before anybody landed by mistake in Virginia. You do know it was a mistake, right? When they set out from merry oldie Angoland, they thought they were sailing to Massachusetts. But the gentlemen adventurers were really good at gentlemen adventuring, but they weren't particularly good at, you know, steering boats. So instead of landing in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, they found a different bay. I wonder where everybody is. And in 1607 founded, you know, the Jamestown Colony, and then proceeded to nearly starve to death, except for the kindness of some of the locals, who, the ancestors of which, are most likely regretting that to this very day. You know, but anyway, that kept them from starving. So, you know, history, what fun.
Virginia's the state of Washington, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe. But it's also the state of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson.
Actually, dickhead, it's the state of Stonewall Jackson if you, yeah. Okay, yeah, if you consider, and it was Virginia at the time, but, you know, over here where I am. Not that I want to claim him or fight over him or anything. Notice how they go, yeah, Washington, ooh. Jefferson, yay. Madison, author of the Constitution, harumph. Robert E. Lee, woo, woo, woo.
Stonewall Jackson. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That is our heritage. That is our heritage. It's what makes us Virginia. And if you take that...
Wait. Hold on. Time out. Robert E. Lee makes him Virginia? Stonewall Jackson?
Eh, poor old Thomas J. Jackson. Out reconnoitering after the Battle of Chancellorsville.
Gets plugged. Kilt. Not right quick, though.
No, he got to die slow and miserable-like. But it was not any mini ball fired by a Union rifled gun musket. No, it was some good old boys from the aforementioned North Carolina. It's probably all debating whether or not the Civil War was necessary or constitutional or both.
Halt! Who goes there? Bang! Ow! Stonewall Jackson! Fuck!
Mm-hmm. But that's what make it. Robert E. Lee is what makes Cora Stewart a Virginian.
That away, we lose our identity. That away.
Back up, a little more.
Our heritage. It's what makes us Virginia. And if you take that away, we lose our identity.
Amen.
We lose our identity. And so I know I've gotten a lot of criticism, not only from Democrats, not only from the media, but a lot of establishment Republicans. That's right. Because they're really not that different from establishment Democrats, are they? They really aren't. And I got to tell you, when I was in Roanoke, and where is she?
You know, at one point in time, there was a movement here in West Virginia to change the motto on the state license plate from Wild, Wonderful West Virginia to West Virginia, You've Got an Aunt in Roanoke. Because that's what people say. And you say, I'm from West Virginia, and they say, really? Well, I've got an aunt in Roanoke. I kid you not. It's really bad down south. 30 years, my parents coming up here 2, 3, 4 times a year. Sweet neighbor lady said, enjoy your time in Virginia. I think they're still mad about what happened on June 20th, 1863, personally.
And she came and she had the battle flag and the Army of Northern Virginia. There she is. That's a brave young lady over there. And she had the Confederate flag, and she had it hidden. She was afraid to bring it out. She didn't want to disrupt my rally. And I brought her forward in Roanoke, and I said, you bring that flag out here. I'm proud to be next to the Confederate flag.
Jesus, why not just say, I'm proud to be a member of the Klan and have done with it? Woo! I'm proud to be next to the Confederate flag. Woo!
That flag is not... It is not about racism, folks.
Said the guy who does not get to define what is about racism.
It's not about hatred.
Said the guy who does not... The white guy who does not get to define what hatred is.
It's not about slavery.
Said the white guy who doesn't get to define what's about slavery.
It is about our heritage. It's time that we here in Virginia, and if we don't do it in Virginia, who else will?
Those fuckers are about one julep away from seceding and going and taking a pot shot at Fort Belvoir or something. God damn.
It's time that we stop running away from our heritage. It's time that we embrace it. It's time that we embrace our history, we embrace our heritage, and we take back Virginia.
Woo, we're going to take our Commonwealth back.
You know, from them. Right. And was somebody tormenting a cat in the background, or was somebody tuning a fiddle? I couldn't tell which. No, you know what they's doing. They's getting ready to fire up. Yeah.
I need your help, because on June the 13th is a Republican primary, and there's only one of us who's going to sign the legislation to prohibit Charlottesville or any other locality from taking down a statue of any one of our heroes.
Our heroes. He throws that "our" around pretty liberally for a conservative Republican. Our heroes. I'm guessing maybe, because see, that's what is at the center of this business. Cora Stewart is all upset because in Charlottesville, Virginia, the city council has passed a measure saying that they're gonna take down a statue of Robert E. Lee. Terrible, terrible. And just like North Carolina passed a statute saying that no city or community or municipal organization pass any laws saying where people saying people could go to the bathroom of their choice. Well, he's going to make sure the legislature passes the law saying ain't no city can take down no statue to no Robert E. Lee, because he's our hero. Wonder how heroic people of color in Virginia find Robert E. Lee. Now, I'm so white that, you know, I can get a sunburn under the refrigerator bulb. Damn near third degree with the new ones with the LEDs, I got to tell you. But, I don't see Robert E. Lee as a hero. I see Robert E. Lee as a prissy little diva. He was a commissioned officer in the United States military. Abraham Lincoln offered him the supreme command of the American forces. And I reckon he realized that there, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., where the house that he had married into stood, and where now we have buried our war dead since that conflict. Because after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee was never allowed to live there again. Fittingly, I mean, they didn't put him up against the wall or put a noose around his neck, so he kind of went along and said, "Yeah, I'll cut my losses. I think I'll cut my losses, y'all." But I, no, hero? No. He said, "I have to stand with my state," when there were other equally noble men who said, "I'm not standing with my state when my state's in the wrong," and fought on the Union side. I know. Some people think, "Yeah, Bob, you spend too much time on the Civil War." I know my history. God knows I miss Mr. Stress in moments like this. But the fact of the matter is, they're still fighting it on the other side. And the more that they hoot and holler about, Civil War was unconstitutional and unnecessary, and it wasn't even about slavery, and there's nobody there to push back and prove them to be the goddamn racist idiots that they are, the more likely it is that history gets revised. Meanwhile, in the currently thawing north, our buddy Ron says, "This dickwad will probably talk like this during the primary, but I doubt such rhetoric will sway voters in Northern Virginia. which you have to win if you want the state house. There will also be a large block of voters in Virginia who will have had even more time to be exposed to the bug fuckery. That's a cowbell word. To the bug fuckery of the current Republican Party. I predict a dim political future for this dipstick. I hope so. But yeah, it all started with the Charlottesville City Council saying they were going to take down a statue of Robert E. Lee. And it has the neo-Confederates all up in arms. And by the way, just in case you're wondering about said bug-fucked dickwad, you might be interested to know that Cora Stewart is the former co-chair of the Trump presidential campaign in the Commonwealth of Old Virginia. He got canned, however, after he participated in an anti-RNC rally last October. See, they got their problems on their side, too. They got people. Ooh, Jesus, the RNC! Rince Priebus! Argle Bargle! Yeah. He's having a little trouble finding get-togethers. That's why he wound up at the Old South Ball there in Danville. He had a couple of campaign events lined up in some restaurants recently. And quick as the restaurants were told who it was they had taken a reservation for, well, they decided they didn't want his money and they canceled his campaign appearances and said, you'll have to have them somewhere else, at which point he went to Court Square. This would be in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which interestingly has a large Mennonite population that might not take too kindly to that sort of thing, being as how the Mennonites are pretty serious about their pacifism. They were going to be stop illegal immigration rallies, by the way. Yeah. So instead they had the stop the rally to end illegal immigration on April Fool's Day from noon to 3. But then that later on, he went to a GOP forum at the Winton Country Club in Amherst County, Virginia. And, of course, he was more than welcome there. Mm-hmm. Of course, now when this happens to you, when you get caught being a xenophobe and a racist, the best defense is a good offense. So immediately, Cora Stewart said, George Soros and his paid agitators tried to shut down my rally to end illegal immigration in Harrisonburg tomorrow. The owners of two different venues were intimidated into backing out of our reservations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Soros. Mickle powerful. Is George Soros. You know, George, we wouldn't have to put on, we wouldn't wind up in $500 holes like this if you just, well, you know, pony up, George. It won't cost you much at all. You'll never even miss it, for crying out loud. Oh, we could do some big things with some George Soros money. But just the same, you know, there was a $30 challenge on the table, and I want to thank Jan and Jerry. And Keith for answering the bell on that one. So that challenge is met. So we are down to $270 to go and to finish off fundraising. That means we're just $70 north of just dealing with the regular $200 for Friday night. So with $270 to go, I consider that a good sign, although it is not, what Jerry Reed sang in Eastbound and Down, long way to go, short time to get there. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll try to turn off the corn pone accent now. I know it drives some people just absolutely berserk. Note coming in from the Mac. Happy Adequate Friday, Bob. Happy Adequate Friday, Mac. Since it appears that Flynn, Giuliani, Manafort, Page, Roger Stone, and the fascist in chief are guilty of at least some type of malfeasance, what about the illegitimate Supreme Court justice? Just wondering. Well, if you, like me, are a fan of Robert Penn Warren's classic American novel of the political process in the early 20th century, All the King's Men, did I say are a fan of? Diagram it. I tried to learn some Japanese grammar last night, you know, and I think in the long run it's probably easier than English. I'll now get emails saying, the hell it is! Where's Tim when I need him? In that book, there's a line. There is always something. From the stink of the deity to the stench of the grave, man is conceived in sin and dieth in iniquity. There is always something. You stir the ash heap enough, there's something on Gorsuch. It wasn't his forgetfulness that kept him from answering about 99.9% of the questions asked by Democrats during the confirmation hearings. And by the way, if you just have a, I don't know, maybe a throwing up problem, it's just as well that you didn't see the story earlier this week saying where old Balls and Strikes John Roberts said, well, Neil Gorsuch isn't a Democrat or Republican. He's a Supreme Court justice, just like the rest of us. Oh. But dark money groups don't throw around $10 million just because they think you're a great guy and fun to hang around with. He sold something, and the something he sold was his judicial objectivity. And we'll find that out when that Lutheran playground case from Missouri comes down the pike in the coming term. We'll find out real quick. Any guy who thinks that the billionaire owners of Hobby Lobby have more religious rights than a woman has rights to control the workings of her body, yeah. I think we're going to find out real quick what he sold. And so it is now time for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable to fire up. Again, if you've never participated before, just fire up your Skype and send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype, SparkyDunc. And he'll make you part of the discussion before you can even say Sparky Dunk. If you absolutely can't use Skype and you want to get in still, we've got one line open to you, and that is the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Works for some, not for others, but give it a try if you want, and we'll get you into the conversation. It is Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. This is listener-supported conversation radio, and yes, it's also the official So-So Friday song of the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Comb some roses around
God, I love that song. The arrangement, the lyric, it's lush, like spring. You know, a few days ago, the only color on the Appalachian landscape was the pink of the red buds. But now the green is busting out all over. And I think I'm one. It's just beautiful outside. Just beautiful. And that it comes off that song, Easter Theater, comes off an album from 1999 called Apple Venus Part 1. I think I'm one of maybe 16 people who bought the album back in 1999. And it's brilliant. And the biggest problem with XTC, I think, was they were too damn smart. Happens. But anyway, if you want to go find it, if you like that as much as I do, all kinds of spring, fertility. Because, you know, this whole thing is tied up in fertility. It has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus to walk out, he looked down on the ground, he see a shadow, he run back in, took him at 6 more week. This is all about fertility, because the land is just fecund right now. Okay, you tell me, how many radio programs are there that today, do you think, use the word fecund? Just wondering, never mind. So it is Friday on the front porch, and thank you very, very kindly to Colin. Colin in Illinois, we just knocked it down to 2:35 to go. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very, very kindly. Let's go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and to the Stress Line. I want to make sure the Stress Line's working first, so let's say hey to Trey in Kentucky, Stan. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how's everybody?
We're here. I just wanted to make sure I had you first before I brought on the other group.
Can you hear me?
I hear you dandy.
I hear you loud and clear then. Let's make this happen.
Awesome. So stand by and then you'll hear the rest of the group.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, welcome, and happy So-So Friday. And of course, it wouldn't be Friday on the front porch without Sparky. Over there, manning the helm at the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Good evening, Sparky. Sunny on your front porch today, right? Really, Sparky. Okay, let me just put this out there generally. Is anybody in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group hearing me?
I can hear you, Bob.
It's oh, Clarity. Yeah. Thank you, Clarity.
Loud and clear here, Bob.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Noise. Mouseketeer roll call, Snork. Have I got you?
Right here.
Sparky?
Yeah, me.
The rat didn't get Sparky, did it? I mean, this isn't some bad 70s horror film.
Sparky says his mic's not working. He just typed it out, Bob.
Oh, okay. I need to turn the chat on, don't I? Yes, I do. Well, that's weird. Maybe the rat got the mic. Maybe the rat got the mic. Just a sec. Well, let me run back to Trey and see what's on Trey's mind this evening. Oh, Trey. I guess I lost Trey.
Damn it, Beavis.
God damn it. I always loved the way Blazing Saddles. I love the way Madeline Kahn says, "Damn it!" You know, with that. Well, Trey, try back, my friend. That's all I can tell you. And hopefully you'll get through. There's no reason you shouldn't. Well, hi, Steve. Thanks to you and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy for the challenge. Much obliged.
Hey, Bob, what's going on, buddy?
I'm not great, but I'm okay, and I'm here, and you know, and the, I mean, hurts a mite, but I ate it. You know, I ate another handful of ibuprofen. You know, melts in your brain, not in your hand.
Yeah, it does wonders for the tummy too, temporarily, right?
Can you hear me now, Bob?
Yes, I hear you. Yeah, you're very, very far away, Sparky, but I hear you.
All right, if you want to talk to.
I have to go to a backup mic here that I have on another headset.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, go ahead.
Electronics quit working.
I'm out.
Well, I was going to say, the plant, so how long have you had that Plantronics?
This one, about, I don't know, 8-9 months, maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe a year, I don't know.
Maybe, well, hopefully, warranty?
Nah, it won't cost that much.
Yeah, just buy a new one, right?
All
right. Well, update us on Rat Quest.
Well, there is five of the youngins have been sent off to rat heaven.
Didn't quite make it to the no kill vegan GMO free cruelty free range rat sanctuary, huh?
No, they were caught in traps, regular traps.
Ah, they hadn't smartened up about those.
Thinking they could get out of the cage because they were too small, so that's why we put the little traps inside the cage.
Oh, that's cold.
Down in the wall.
No, I'm not going to give you any grief. I mean, the splattered spider is still on the ceiling, and I got a note from Marty shortly after mentioning that. He said, "As arachnophobic as I am, I demand you kill the spider. Thank you." I don't think Marty would have been able to continue listening. I understand. We took a poll last week, and you have acted accordingly. Thank you, Sparky.
Yeah, but I'm still after the hunt on the big one. I chased him around the shop the other night.
Him?
Her? I don't know. I couldn't tell the sex.
I don't think there are any rat religion miracles taking place, Sparky.
But I found him on one end of the shop, and then I chased him to the other end. I chased him about 30 feet along a ledge, the wall bracing that runs midway through the steps and the framing. He ran along that and ran over to the electrical panel, and then I got all this cabling over there by the electrical panel. He run up the cabling.
Well, she can run, but she can't hide.
Went around, and then there's a fake wall there where I've been catching the babies. You ran down in there. But I have the electric trap down in there. Hopefully I can get them in there.
Wait, electric trap?
Yeah, it electrocutes them.
Ooh.
It's got 4C batteries.
It's going to hurt.
It's got a metal floor in it and a metal plate on the end, so when they touch the metal plate,
God, nobody's done that since what's his name? Edison electrocuted the elephant, have they? Never mind. Well, let's don't answer.
I did a Google search on electric rat traps, and that's what I come up with. And I watched a YouTube video of a guy using it, so I...
The only
went
thing
down to the local tractor supply and purchased one, along with a nasty mole trap.
Well, the only thing that could possibly make that better is if it was solar powered.
Yeah, but it's 4C batteries.
Oh,
but
just...
I got a spring loaded spike dropper that does the moles in when they push the ground up.
Ooh, spring surprise.
Yeah, well, they're digging up, burrowing all over along the sidewalks and stuff.
I understand. It, not as noxious as a rat, but still, I understand.
I figured since I was in there and I was looking at the electric rat trap.
Yeah, while I'm here, let's get the...
The mole thing was right next to him.
Yeah, while I'm here, let's get the mole impaler.
Yeah.
And to answer VT Blom in the chat room, no, I do not have a bug zapper. Because it kills more good bugs than it does bad ones.
I have a little tennis racket type zapper for mosquitoes that come in here. Now imagine in your mind's eye me dancing around with that racket killing mosquitoes. Standing here at the computer.
30 love, Sparky. Service, yeah. Whack. That's a tennis racket. That does sound kind of fun, I gotta admit. I'll have to look into one of those. You find some awfully cool shit, Sparky.
Well, they sell them here in the local supermarket where all the, you know, the barbecue stuff is. You know, one of the chimney starters and all your tools, your wire brushes and that stuff. Works great on spiders, too.
Spiders? Ooh.
Yeah, you'll get spiders if you can get them. Like, I got one little one hanging over here. But it picks up the vibes before I even get there. Instead of time. There, I had him. I got him.
Oh, that was... Oh,
no,
that.
I didn't.
Die, bastard! Die!
Jesus,
Sparky. Smoked him. Okay, let's.
They do smoke.
Oh, I don't doubt it, and I can't think it's very pleasant when they step Devin just chimed in and said, "Damn, it has to make quite the stench to Rosenberg the rats." Oh, wait a minute. That's for Rosenberg the rats, Devin. Just saying. Okay. Let's check back up with Steve from Georgia, Stan. Rosenberg.
Well,
help me here. The program is rapidly going off the rails, Steve. Find an issue or something, okay? Please.
All right. We'll try to keep the humor going. Did you happen to see the interview with Trump and Maria
Bartiromo? Did
you see that? Oh my God, there was a part there where she actually was giggling and asked Trump if the missiles were unmanned.
That was okay. So that was the night that you weren't in the room.
Yep.
And I played the clip, and the unmanned cruise missile part of it just about had me fit to shut everything down, walk away, run screaming out the door, tearing at my clothing and my hair, running rabbits and eating dirt.
I mean, this is Dr. Strangelove material. I mean, is Air Press that stupid?
Well, it's Fox Business Channel, okay, Steve?
Yeah.
And it's the difference between Fox Business Channel and, say, Fox News is the difference between Romper Room and, I hate to insult him in this context, but Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I don't even want to say them in the same sentence, but, I was out that night. My sister was in the hospital.
Right.
But, I didn't know if you caught that or not, but when I seen that, I was like, my God.
We have an armada, my Navy, my generals. We've got super, and submarines, more powerful than the aircraft carrier by far.
And you know, it's Celebration Day in North Korea, you know, and they're way ahead of us, so it's Saturday there right now, so you may want to tie on a good one.
I can't anymore.
Damn it.
I just have to stare in wide-eyed horror at the majestic chaos of it all.
You're familiar with Malcolm Nance, I'm sure, aren't you?
Yeah.
Dude, Do you go along with what he says, or do you respect what he says?
Well, it depends. I don't buy into anybody 100%.
Well, I understand. He is trying to sell books. But he has come out and said that North Korea may have the ability to put nuclear warheads on bombs that can reach anything west of the Rockies here. Okay? And our only choice would be to, defensive-wise, is to detonate it above the stratosphere. And if we did that, that would set us back to the 1870s. For an undetermined amount of time, because it's going to fuck up the electric grid and anything electrical.
Oh, yeah, the electromagnetic pulse.
Yes. Yeah. And that just scares the hell out of me. I'm not ready to go back, you know.
Well, let's see if we can...
Walk me off the ledge.
Yeah, please. Right, because this is my fucking ledge, okay? You don't come out on it unless you're goddamn invited, Steve.
All right. Well,
and you'll have, and it's usually good practice to check in with Carol Baker too.
Right. Right. I probably gave her a ring first, but I don't have her number.
There's this much. Whether solid or liquid, they have to be prepared to fire. Okay. Whether the fuel be solid or liquid. There is a run up. There's a spool up time. One is significantly less than the other. The solid booster is significantly less than the other. But that is the technology that that's a little dicier than the liquid stuff. The liquid stuff takes a while, and then once you fuel it, you got to go. And,
but if I understood him correctly, he was saying this with sincerity. And please fact check me on this, because this is just committed from memory, and my memory is shot, you know. So, for what it's worth, just
no, I understand, and someone will, I have no doubt.
Yep.
But the fact is, and I mean, there. Oh, how do I say this? I know our military does stupid, bloody, hateful, ugly things.
And Trump's giving them free rein.
Well, yeah, there's that part, too.
With the chocolate cake. You can't make this up, man.
But the thing is, we are watching North Korea something approaching constantly.
Always have been since the Korean War conflict. I mean, it just never ends, but it seems like it could be coming to a head now. And that's what scares the hell out of me. I mean, what does this little short fucker have? And we'll know tomorrow if he shows something, you know, if he shows something off.
The problem with pissing matches is that sooner or later, I mean, this is Barney Fife with the, not Barney Fife, this is Ernest T. Bass with the damn chip on his shoulder, literally. Knock it off, knock chip off my shoulder, whip your ass.
I dare you, Sheriff. I dare you.
I dare you. Look at my hair. I got a new haircut, Andy. It's all slickety in the back. Andy, she called me a creature. I'm sorry. I loved Howard Morris.
I love that show. Oh yeah, he was in History of the World too. But I digress. Go ahead, Bob.
So we've got a pair of Ernest T. Basses, and if that doesn't give you the dribbling shits, I don't know what will. So okay, yes, I'm with you. Okay, come on out on the ledge for a little bit, Steve. Let's talk. But if they do have a device test, then Trump is at a point where he almost has to do something because of all the mouth running he's done.
and he's calling him out. And according to Malcolm Nance, our only recourse is nuclear. My God. And I don't want to scare the hell out of anybody out there tonight. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm looking forward to Sunday so I can hide Easter eggs and then try to find them, you know? If that makes any sense at my age. I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to where I look forward to sunrise.
Right.
Hang on. I'm giving me a cowbell for that. That was good. But as far as like the, I'm not a scientist and I don't play one on the radio, and maybe Snork will find it necessary to tell us
right.
that it's actually all far, far worse than we ever imagined. Yeah.
Or better,
but we don't really know what happens if you should happen to detonate one of those little bastards up there, because we really haven't done it.
Well, no, we've had sense enough not to at this point.
Do you guys want the answer?
Yes, please.
It's not as bad as you think.
All right. I'm turning my mic off, and I want you to pontificate. Just please.
Okay. From what's in the available public information, nothing classified or anything like that, there have been airbursts tested to show some of our other equipment off that we wanted to rattle the cages with. So... we launched a Polaris missile. We had a bunch of people huddle in a tennis court. And we lobbed a really huge nuclear weapon a short distance from them. Had them use the canvas around the tennis court. This was the entire population of the island. This was a small island. They all fit in the one tennis court. I haven't heard any follow-ups on the medication. This was from the late 50s or early 60s. But it was an airburst. And depending on the actual explosion, different electronics can go. A lot of electronics is not as sensitive as it used to be. A lot of aircraft electronics tends to be hardened now. Even a lot of our automotive stuff tends to be hardened because it has, first of all, multiple uses. And lightning also puts out EMP. There's other natural volcanoes going off can initiate EMP. Not quite as strong as what you're expecting with nuclear, but again, the way that the thing goes off depends more on, and I'm sorry, I wouldn't be qualified to describe what's happening in the reaction.
Well, I'm not feeling that squishy, Snork. I was hoping for something a little more comforting, you know?
Okay.
You get much more hopeful, Snork, and Steve's going to start smoking again out here on the ledge.
No, but there have been airbursts that have not put us back to the Dark Ages. And also there's what's called attenuation. It's possible that even the local geology can change how the shockwave is absorbed. And so it's not a death sentence for the planet automatically. We set off, by ourselves, I believe we set off on the order of 1,400, right?
It's not a small number.
And it was only the later ones that we actually buried underground before igniting. Again, it's not the total end that everybody thinks it is.
Well, I don't want any to be set off to begin with, and that's what I was hoping you were going. You know, we got enough sense not to even go down this road, but that's not what I'm hearing from you.
No, we used to set them off all the time.
I mean,
we bombed the BGS out of Nevada.
Actually, we have bombed our allies more than we have bombed any enemies.
I mean, there was a couple of decades there where we had glow-in-the-dark sheep.
Bikini Island and all that,
yeah. The people I knew were from Kiribati, and they talked about their grandparents being given a canvas wall for protection.
But, okay, Stork, my bottom line is, what are the odds you think we're going to get a tit-for-tat nuclear exchange with North Korea? Do you think that's even a possibility?
I'm more worried about something else.
I got a take on that.
Well, I'd like to hear both y'all's take.
For starters, no, North Korea, as bad as it might like to, is not going to nuke the United States. They're going to make it worse. They're going to, what they would like to do, and, you know, this is stuff that really doesn't have, I mean, it's not exclusive to the North Korean pariah state mindset. What North Korea would like to do, really, really like to do, is nuke Japan. Because they figure they kind of got Ozies on this. And given what the Japanese did to China in the 1930s, the Chinese kind of might be a little bit like, yeah, I'm not saying I agree, but I ain't saying I disagree either. And I don't like saying that, but they would. They'd much rather nuke Japan. Or, you know, Seoul. Seoul is, I don't know if you've, you know, the Korean Peninsula is not real big. And Seoul is right up spitting distance from the DMZ. They can do a lot without ever having to have a missile that'll reach the United States. And probably more satisfyingly to them. One more thing, let's remember, the Korean War has been going on for as long as most of us have been alive. There was never a treaty. It is only a truce. It's a ceasefire.
It's never really stopped. But the 52nd parallel, is that correct?
Yeah, something like that. I know it runs... just no kidding. It runs right across the highway here about 10 miles from me. So, I mean, there's a sign even. And it says Korean War Veterans Memorial Highway. 38th parallel. Thank you. Thank you, Stockton.
38th. All right. Yeah, I knew somebody would weigh in. Thank you, Stockton.
And thank you, Devin. Got there, too.
I was just spitballing.
But the problem is, if they do detonate one, it will be solely for the purpose of needling a madman, Donald Trump. And if we attack conventionally, then they're just gonna blast the bejesus out of Seoul. I mean, this is one of those. I think it was Michael in Madison who. Posted something earlier today that he had found somewhere else on Facebook. Let me see if I can find it, because everything's a movie reference to me. It goes back to an 80s film. And... I'll have it here in a second.
Well, I'll fill in some dead air while you're looking.
Oh, there it is. For the first time, I actually want him to just go golfing over the weekend. And it's a meme. And it's the screen from War Games.
Shall we play a game?
No. Chess, poker, fighter combat, guerrilla engagement, desert warfare, air-to-ground actions, theater-wide tactical warfare, theater-wide biotoxic and chemical warfare, global thermonuclear war. Trump is thinking of playing a game this weekend. And the guy said, yeah, for once, I just wanted to go fucking golfing.
There, go play pinball or something. Jesus.
No, well, pinhead playing pinball? Sure, why not?
It's frightening. I mean, it's really frightening. And of course, we'll probably come out of this fine. More than likely, we will. But the possibilities.
See, this is. I mean, this is as this is as creepy. Maybe people who were full grown adults at the time will tell me otherwise. This is as creepy as 1962.
Probably the Cuban Missile Crisis, what you're referring to, of course.
Yeah, and the thing is, there even though we were toe to toe and getting ready to go, it was us and the Russians. And in the final analysis, there was a hope that both of these nuclear powers, which meant they were, you know, fairly industrialized and so-called civilized, would not go up to the brink and then, you know, flinch or push the button. We have created a mindset around North Korea that says, oh, Kim Il Crazy Pants is crazy.
Well, we got one right here, you know, short dick Cheeto peckerhead, that it's just as equally as crazy.
I think you could probably flip a coin and it'd be hard to tell which one is crazier, you know?
I know.
Exactly.
Hey, before I lose him, because I lost one, I lost Trey earlier on the stress line, let's bring Todd in over on the stress line. Hey, Todd. Todd. Hang on a minute. All right, Todd, you hear me?
Yeah, can Steve and everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, people, what's up?
Yeah, hey, Todd, what's up, buddy?
How you guys doing? Steve, man, I like what you had to say. Everybody, but I'm just saying, you know. Snort dropped some good knowledge about the mineral, you know, the composition of the topography, you know, in the rocks. If we set off something. But obviously none of us wants to see this, but my question is, this is almost like we're living through a Tom Clancy novel, except it's us. This is real, and it's scary. We know that now they're trying to miniaturize weapons. They have smaller tactical nukes, okay? So if we do cross that threshold, that means that the other countries aren't going to give a damn about using them.
Yeah, there goes the neighborhood theory.
Well, actually, these small yield tactical nukes, without getting into the mechanics of it, they're not exactly that clean. At least with a regular nuke, you have the full burn of your fuel, the explosive material. With a small yield tactical, you just don't burn it all, which is almost a worse situation than a full-blown explosion. I think that they would really withhold that to be a last-ditch choice, where they would only do a small yield for a tactical situation where they had personnel near the area that would be meant to come in right after it, like something fired from a mortar or a tank. I'm still saying, guys, I'm not thinking nuke. I'm more worried. It has been the Moab itself is actually a technology that is over 40 years old, and it's been a long time since we've had stealth that came out in 91, the Stealth Fighter was the first revelation of a game-changing technology for warfare. And our people have not been resting. And I'm more concerned that we're going to pull something out of the woodwork that we're not ready to plan against yet. And the odds are it's not going to have the throwbacks of the of nuclear. It will probably be something devastating, though. And I just don't want this to turn into a display case for that technology. So I'm
okay.
I'm more concerned.
Can you? I mean, do you have anything specific in mind?
Oh, I couldn't say anything.
Well, didn't Trump already start that with his mother of all bombs that he let go in Afghanistan, which would no way even touch what they got going on in North Korea over here? They're dug in like ants over there. They are so ground in that if he was trying to prove a point, it was wasted. In fact, he may have proved a point for them.
Yeah, like I said.
So you don't think it's going to reach the bunkers of the North Koreans then?
No, I don't. Right. I do not. No, I do not. Mm. Do you?
I don't know. Snork is probably the one to answer
that. The
conventional
one?
Yeah, I don't know what the capabilities are. A conventional, whatever. I just think...
It has a blast radius of one square mile.
Oh, you're talking about the Moab?
Yes.
No.
Moab stands for
Moab's
mass...
It's got a blast radius of 1.7 miles. That's right. A Bressant range where everything basically tries to become powder.
But does that go down 1.7 miles? That's the thing.
No, that's the whole point I was about to make. The Moab thing, I mean, they said the purpose was to get at tunnels in the mountain.
Right.
Well, that's not that's not a burrowing in bomb. Moab doesn't stand for Mother of All Bombs.
And if you got
it stands for Massive Ordnance Air Burst.
Correct.
It bursts just as the tip hits the ground, is my understanding.
Right. It bursts right above impact. You are correct. Right.
And so that ain't much good.
No, it's not anywhere near a bunker buster.
You know, it's not like you're going to burrow through to Smaug's horde with it or anything.
If you got Netflix, there is a special about how North Korea is so sophisticated and so dug in as far as their underground communities. This Moab thing, they're going to just laugh at it.
Well, the Moab's not for bunker busting.
Exactly. And that's what Malcolm was trying to say, Malcolm Nance. The only way we could fight them on their turf is with a full nuclear exchange. Mm. And that kind of crap just scares the hell out of me.
Well, Douglas MacArthur wanted to drop nukes on North Korea, if you all recall.
Yeah, I don't see that. If we use any type of radiation, it is going to be a directed weapon, not a mass weapon.
And by the way, just can I run off to the side for a minute here?
Yeah, please do, Bob.
You can't just throw around a word like Moab.
320 million-dollar bomb.
You can't just throw around a word like Moab without me getting all art of word knowing.
Well, everybody talks about the cost of the bomb.
Time out, Snork. Just work with me here.
Mother of all bombs.
Massive ordnance airburst. Bullshit on both counts. Moab is a word that has been around for a while. Okay.
Oh.
You know how I've told the story, whenever we get into whenever we get one of those things where, some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical wants to teach the Bible in the schools so children will have some morals again because we've got away from God? You've been here for those. Well, Moab was a place in the ancient Near East. There's a bunch of places mentioned in Genesis. They're probably all very nearly bullshit. The kingdom of Moab, the kingdom of Edom, the kingdom of Ammon, the kingdom of Smoky Gouda, the kingdom of the Philistines, the kingdom of Aram, okay?
Bob, I got one. How about the kingdom of Booty Call?
That was just to the east of Nimrod.
Wait a minute, just to the east of Nikki Haley.
Okay, so very good.
There you go.
No, that's Nimrata. But work with me here.
They're twin cities, actually, Nimrod and Nimrata.
So Moab had a brother. Moab's brother was named Ammon. You want to know about this? You can go to Genesis 19 and read it just like I did. So Moab and Ammon grow up, and you know they each have 97 and 2/3 wives apiece or whatever, and they found their own kingdoms out there in the middle of some godforsaken desert. Later on, God will tell the children of Israel to go and slaughter every last one of them, because I am the Lord thy God. Never mind, though. Who were Moab and Ammon? Well, like I said, anytime you've got a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical who wants the children to learn about the Babel in skew so they will have some morals because we have got away from God, I always go to the story of Lot. Now, the God of love, otherwise known as the big, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky in this myth, he gets real pissed off at the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the good God fearing, etc., say it's because there was homosexuals there. Other parts of the Old Testament say no, it's because they were a bunch of shitty people who were mean to strangers. But anyway, whatever it was, the loving God decides to blast, blow up, whatever, just destroy the fuck out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I take it they were right together, kind of like Buddha and Pesht. And he lets Lot live, because Lot is a righteous man. He's a righteous dude. Well, he flees with his family, including his daughters, and his wife, whom God says, you know, don't nobody turn around and look. Well, you know, Lot's wife turns around and look, gets turned into a fucking pillar of salt. Thanks, God! And so Lot is down to his daughters. Well, a couple of nights out from fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's right there in Genesis, Lot's daughters talk to each other and say, hey, yea, verily, our God has done wiped out all of our chances of ever finding a husband. Let's get daddy drunk and fuck him. Okay? That we may have children. And so, Genesis 19, Genesis tells you that Lot's daughters then get some wine, and they get Lot all fucked up, but he's not too fucked up to get a Woody. And so, Lot's daughters get up and go a-rutting on poor old Lot when he's about half passed out. And he's laying there going, funny, you don't taste like salt! And the next night, the other daughter gets him liquored up. And you know, you're my daddy, you're my daddy. Jesus, and they make fun of us hillbillies. And so 9 months later, it's a miracle. Lot's two daughters have two little baby boys. The eldest daughter has a little boy, the youngest daughter, who went second, she has a little boy named Ammon. The eldest daughter has a little boy, and she names him Moab. And that's where Moab comes from. We have named a goddamn bomb after a child of incest.
Well, Utah's named a city after that as well, Bob. Moab, Utah.
Yeah. Well, look, Cloven, let me tell you about the Negro Bundy, named his boy after one of those incest babies.
Right.
And didn't Lot pass his daughters around like candy to visitors, too?
Well, no, they said, let them. They said, let us know thy daughter. No, he said, I will. I don't know that he necessarily did.
But still, the intent is just as bad as the deed, isn't it?
I'm not a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, so who am I to judge? But I just wanted to throw that out there because, and then later on in Genesis, you will, God will tell the children of Israel to just genocide the shit out of the Moabites.
Hey, shit happens.
And apparently there really were Moabites, because Ramses II erected a stele in Egypt that lists the Moabs among people that he had conquered.
You're saying the acronym is nothing about Mother of All Bombs, then?
This is all of that Jungian archetypal kind of stuff.
And I do believe we have a conventional bomb even stronger or more powerful than this one. So what you're saying actually makes sense.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah, Todd.
Do you guys remember way back when all this nonsense started, like 1991, you know, the first time we went over there? They were over there to test stuff, it looked like, at first. The first time they lied, blah blah blah, to go into war, and they just wanted to test with their technology. And CNN was just getting big. That was the first time we went over there, recently. Okay, then when Bush got involved, the younger Bush, remember he said we go into the, I forget the way there's a phrase, it's from the Bible, we go into the valley of death. It was like he was telling people this is the new crusades. And remember, he's a born again Christian.
Well, he used the term crusade.
And I have in my hand a list, and I'm not making this up. Like, if anybody's into dub or reggae, there's a, you know who King Tubby is. I got this wonderful CD, King Tubby and the Soul Syndicate. And it's not easy to get, but I have a nice collection. And there's a, I love this song. It's called Salty Dub, and it's about Lot's wife. And the rhythm is bad, man. The rhythm is wonderful. I'm just saying. So, this story. This has been crusades, man. Who knows? You know, these evangelicals, man, they had taken over. They had taken over. What is this bullshit we're dealing with? Leave people a fucking alone. They don't like us. We don't like them. Maybe we don't need to be over there. How about that?
It's madness.
Well, that's what comes of bullshit binary choices. It's like drone strikes. Well, you know, we can have drone strikes, and that doesn't put any American soldiers in harm's way, or we can put boots on the ground, people gonna die. Well, that's a bullshit binary, because it ignores option 3, mind our own business.
What does the lawyer have to say?
Oh, billable wreck.
Yes. Yes, what's the question?
Why are we there? Why?
why are we there in the Middle East? It's for resources, I think, ultimately, and to control the oil supply. You know?
Or I'll take it a step further. Why are we threatening North Korea? Why do we want to get in a pissing contest with these people? It's just so Trump could say, I've got a bigger dick than you.
It's not just Trump. We have long ago propagated and succeeded. I mean, you know, I'm guilty of it, of saying that, you know, every leader of North Korea is crazy.
Well, they are crazy. They are, but
are they
still.
Murderous, homicidal? Goddamn right. Autocratic, yes. Authoritarian, brutal dictators, kill their own people, all of that shit? And absolutely.
They've been eating dirt for 50 years, Bob.
Well, the majestic, noble, graciousness family hasn't.
No. No, but
and they get and they get all of their everything from China, and they trade with China. Okay, just because you can't get on a plane in the United States and fly to Pyongyang doesn't mean that Pyongyang is isolated from the entire world. This is not me defending North Korea.
I understand. You're making a valid point.
This is me saying that, you know, when... What's that old saying? You know, when all of your problems look like nails, all your solutions will look like hammers?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
And so, and look, we've tried it with other people in the past, too. Remember? I mean, you know, we might have to go to a war with Iran, because those fuckers are crazy. And the thing is, it falls apart pretty quick in most instances, because if you say, really, they're crazy? They're not just venal and evil and nasty and authoritarian and dictatorial and homicidal and all, they're crazy? Well, then why haven't they done crazy things yet? Okay, North Korea hasn't done any crazy things. They say some goofy shit, but fuck, I think that ship has sailed for us. We got Trump in the White House.
Right, and there's nobody that's been able to walk anybody off the ledge to today as far as current events.
Hey, do you guys remember what our parents used to always say about crazy people? What did they used to say?
Stay away from them. Run like hell.
Institutionalize them.
Don't screw with them. No, I mean, no. I remember telling the story.
Had two crazy people.
Hey, go ahead, Todd.
We had two crazy people.
Yeah. See, I remember telling the story years ago. There was a hornet's nest hanging low from an apple branch on the boundary line between us and our neighbors, and the damn thing was bigger than a basketball. Okay. Was huge, and it was in operation, and Ferg was youngish, and as soon as I saw it, I looked at Ferg and I said, stay the hell away from that. They will leave you alone if you leave them alone. That's their house. You wouldn't want somebody coming up here and poking a sharp stick at our house now, would you? Don't do it to theirs. Okay, Dad. And, I kind of ruined his day. And then, sure as shit, 2 days later, I hear screaming fit to beat the band. I look around. Ferg's in sight. Girls are there. Agnes is not doing anything. But lo and behold, the next door neighbors who fly that fucking Confederate flag... have got the two boys have gone out and whacked the fuck out of that hornet's nest with a stick,
and they got pheromone too.
And they were running. Dress. Oh, they were running and screaming. And you know, you don't do that if you have a big primate brain. Yeah, okay, you're a bear. You got a thick hide and a big furry coat. You can reach into the honeybee's nest and have some honey. But you don't do that. And we are doing this on a scale that's measured in goddamn kilotons. Does that make sense?
It's not funny, but the way you describe it's funny, but it's disturbing, it's alarming, and it ought to have anybody with a free thinking brain on edge.
Yeah.
Well,
and by the way, I gotta give props to Michael in Madison. House full, he's got a house full of toasters and needs all the cowbells he could get. This isn't particularly funny though. Michael heard the Moab story and put the pieces together and sent the following note, subject line Moab. So what you're saying, Bob, is Trump dropped the Moab in lieu of fulfilling his sick, twisted dream of impregnating Ivanka?
Oh, that's like a triple cowbell there, Bob.
Well, it is. It ain't funny.
Yeah. Ring away, man. It's not funny. But...
Right.
Wow.
Hey, let's move around the group a little bit. Clarity, you've been awful quiet. I don't mean you've been awful. I just mean you've been very quiet.
Well, I don't like to crosstalk.
I understand.
I mean, it's too easy for me, and then I come across as being some overbearing. I just wanted to – I don't know if this will pull anybody back from the ledge, but I was trying to remember before I talked about it where I'd seen it. I'd stumbled upon a live stream of a town hall meeting yesterday, and I don't know if anybody else saw it on Facebook, but they were – it was a science rally at this Arizona congressman's home meeting, and he had this meme locked in. He kept, you know, chanting this, and you'll love this. If we didn't spend money on dinosaur tonsil research, I could fund your health care.
Jesus, like, God.
Yeah, and it's like
dinosaur dinosaur tonsil research.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to figure out what dinosaurs sounded like. So therefore, the research is totally bogus, you know. Or that's what they're saying, you know. There's no transfer of knowledge. You're just trying to find out, you know, what a dinosaur sang like.
Damn.
And the other thing that just kind of crossed my mind,
but I mean, isn't that Clarity? Wouldn't that be to fund healthcare? Wouldn't that be $1 trillion spent on like dinosaur tonsil research? I mean, wouldn't that have come to somebody else's notice too?
Well, that's how people get across as, you know, the government being out of hand when they think that we're spending more on foreign aid than we are on the Defense Department. You know, they have that notion in their heads. And they've never looked at the pie chart that shows, you know, the budget is 60%, you know, Department of Defense. And 3% for Social Security and Medicaid, 3%. You know, it's all small peanuts compared to what we're spending on bunker busters and sonic research for our submarines, you know, that are there to survive a nuclear attack. You know, we forget about silent running, and that in the Mariana Trench we've got, you know, all of those Trident submarines waiting for, you know, the message.
Yeah, just waiting for the go code.
And they're not worried about satellites getting knocked out because they can communicate with subsonic you know, communication, that's what's killing some of the whales when they test for that, you know, ultra low frequency stuff. So,
oh yeah, it drives them mad.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to just talk about from a technical strategic point of view as far as the MOAB is that, you know, none of our bombers can carry it. You got to put it on a transport plane and basically roll it out the back door like a barrel. So, you know, how do you defend that when you're going against somebody that actually has an Air Force?
Well, that thing was delivered by what's called an MC-130, which is, you know, the C-130 is a cargo plane, but there are armed versions of it too. And they are armed to the teeth.
Yeah, okay. Well, so it's our flying fortress.
And then some. I mean, it can deliver a MOAB, but mostly it's a gunship.
Oh, okay. Well, I just was thinking about, you know, how well it could penetrate, you know, into the places where the bunkers are.
Not that well, friend.
Yeah.
It's the concussion that takes out the bunkers.
Well, but then again, the bunker busters are using some sort of depleted uranium.
You're exactly right.
For penetrating armor.
No, I don't think that's correct.
No?
No.
We're still using DU, I'm sure.
Yeah, but those are artillery rounds.
These large airburst ones, they're mostly a very light fuel that burns extremely rapidly. There are no heavy ions.
Well, I was talking about North Korea, that, you know, what could we do as far as, you know, if we wanted to preemptively knock out their batteries, we'd have to have something pretty serious to get through their armor.
Snork, what could we get down there to their tunnels, to where they're at, to really make them pay attention, regardless of what our friend was trying to say earlier? That's why I said I thought he was right, you know?
Yeah, I believe that anybody in tunnels underneath that for quite a ways would have been jelly.
But do you realize, you know, the sophistication of North Korea's tunnels down there? Have you studied up on any of that?
No, but I know explosions and how metal really works with them. I don't know. There's some places that you just have to give up. And Sweden probably has the best tunnels.
Can I ask Clarence a question?
Clarity?
Is it Clarence?
Clarity.
The person who just
no, it's Clarity.
Clarity. Clarity.
Clarity. I'm sorry. I'm on this line.
It's cool. It's cool, brother. Go ahead.
I'll try.
Okay, I have a question. So this is my question. Sorry. Does Trump? And I hate to say that name. Does that fascist person and his military generals, do they understand that they have 30,000 troops, or more, you know, around 30,000 troops in South Korea, and it's very close to the border? It means not far from Pyongyang at all. And that, if they are unstable, if they choose to just use a conventional missile, which they have, we have treaties with South Korea, so we would have to do something.
An armistice.
I mean, I want some clarification, because this whole thing is freaking me out. I just don't need this shit.
I didn't think we would have to worry about any real saber rattling until... I forgot the name of the ship. It's going to be the...
Carl Vinson?
No. I think the Vinson's in that group. The one called DG... DDG-1002. I'm really concerned if we ever see that scuttling toward anybody.
Because why is
that's,
that?
That's probably the one weapon we really want to sell.
Oh, so we want to demonstrate it.
Yeah, I'm really worried.
You're talking about the Zumwalt class new breed of destroyers. No, yes. what's headed toward Korea is the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier attack group.
Yeah, but there's no Zumwalt class ships going there. But the weapon for the third one, the DDG 1002, is the one that has the weapons that we want to demonstrate so bad. And it's just like, I'm worried that we're going to want to try that out really bad.
Oh, are you talking about the electromagnetic railgun?
Yeah. Kinetic weapons. More devastating than nuclear, and they shoot faster. And you don't have the national uprising afterwards, so there's going to be less barriers to us using it.
I'm just looking. I just looked it up. It is. It's had the keel laid.
Yeah, it's barely getting started. That's why I said I think we're kind of safe, unless we have something else that they haven't told us about.
Well, Philip K. Dick predicted energy rays, and
well, we've had gamma cannon for quite a while, but it's basically used only for assassinations, as far as I've heard.
It's interesting. The world news on CBC, they have a 30-minute world synopsis. And at every day they have a soundbite from some crazy American, you know. And it's usually somebody from Taliban or, you know, Tinistan or, you know, one of those places. Well, last one I caught was Alex Jones.
Oh, dear God.
Alex Jones. Being the same, you know, the same crazy Jethro quote, you know, it's like. But they always find, you know, some person that's going to say something and get it on their news, you know, just to portray us as, well, I guess as the majority seems to be.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, 25.2% of the voting population. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
I always figure that if we know of something, that it's already two generations behind.
Interesting note coming from GK. Subject line, tunnel. How sure are we guaranteed there was tunnels anyhow? WMDs, ripping preemies from incubators, anyone? But in this case, tunnel schmunnels, if I don't think... Look... If it really mattered, would we have said, ooh, we killed 36 Afghans at a cost of $500,000 a kill? This was about showing off. You know, okay, so, I mean, mountain country, tunnels, you believe it, you don't believe it. At least it wasn't tunnel. See, they weren't that serious about it because they didn't say it was tunnels with little stolen Christian babies in them in incubators. Then we would have known, you know, they really had a reason for this. This was the generals forestalling the crazy.
Well, the report from Pacifica last night was that it was a partially forested area, and it started a forest fire, which would, in that level of culture, if they don't have wood, you know, they're not going to be able to build homes. They're not going to be able to build fires, cook, eat. You know, so it's not only a psychological blow if it doesn't kill, you know, it leaves it devastated as far as, you know, immediate survival, and it's still winter, you know, kind of. Yeah.
Oh, and I do need to interrupt just for a moment. It's 25 past the hour, and I want to thank everybody who helped us take a big bite out of the fundraising hole this evening. We kind of had a flurry, and then it fell off a little bit, but we got $235 to go to end the week okay. So whatever we can do to make that number go lower, it would be really, really great. And I thank everybody who has helped out in this regard. And, again, I'm sorry about last night. But, you know, we have this fundraising goal for a reason, and that is to make sure that we get all the bills paid. So that's where that is. Haley has been around, has been hanging out for a little bit. Haley, how are you?
I'm fine, if you can hear me.
You sound great.
Well, thank you. This is a milestone, not anything earth-shattering, but I've got the newest version of Linux Skype working.
Well, that is kind of a milestone.
Yeah, and it's on my laptop, which I had until about a week ago, had Windows 10 on it, but the hard drive was starting to show its age, and I replaced the hard drive and then tried to put Windows 10 back on, except that when I went through the procedure to reload it, a factory default went back, you know, made the little USB disk, you know, to plug back in. It tried to reload Windows 7. So
I think I would have rather had the 7, but that's me.
Yeah, but I was just afraid of it.
So just out of curiosity, because we're all nerds here, what Linux are you running?
I'm running Mint version 18.2. I'm trying to remember there's a name for it, but it's pretty user friendly. It's almost Windows like as far as operating it. It helps to know a few of the commands, but it's not that complicated.
Well, I know we've got a number of Linux users, and just out of curiosity, you haven't tried to get into the chat room, have you?
No, I haven't. I haven't tried to get into the chat room. I haven't been in a chat room for a while. I usually just listen. But I've been listening to the White Rose stream with one of the players it has, and there is a plugin that will run the Windows Media stream with this. And so I'm pretty much can do anything I want that it could do before, as far as, you know, just, you know, the web and my printer and things like that. But I wanted to say that Clarity's dog got Biscuit riled up the other day. He started barking and carrying on the other night, and we heard Clarity's dog chime in, and I think he might be crushing a little bit.
Oh, puppy love.
I know. But anyway, a couple things. As you probably know, here in Arkansas, next week is going to be a massive marathon death penalty session. There's seven. There was eight, and then it went down to seven. And just a little while ago, about an hour or two ago, the state Supreme Court issued a stay on another one of the death row inmates. And earlier today, while I was at work, there was a rally at the state capitol, and Johnny Depp was there speaking against the death penalty.
I saw that.
And also one of the West Memphis Three, Damien Echoes, was there. And But there was one protest, one counter protester who got crashed the event, got up on the Capitol steps, and started shouting before he was escorted out.
Lovely. What? Kill them all? Kill more? What do you shout when you do that?
He was just carrying on, thought that the protesters were wrong about opposing a death penalty. But the pictures I've seen were there was a good turnout, being it was held at 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the afternoon on Friday afternoon.
I mean, the way they've set this up, it's like a freaking assembly line. It's just so macabre is the word that comes to mind. And my understanding is the reason why, at least the stated reason why they want to like hurry up and execute all these people, is that their current lot of drugs that they have to kill people, to kill these folks, expires like April 30th of this year. so they want to make sure they, you know, get rid of them before the drugs expire. And, you know, one thing that the...
is there a constitutional exception for that, Rick?
What's that?
Is there a constitutional exception for that? Cruel and unusual punishment unless you're killing drugs or about to expire?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But what the foreign chemical manufacturers have started to do is, I know, especially for some of the drugs that are used for veterinarian purposes and so forth, the states were starting to buy those from foreign manufacturers, and the foreign manufacturers got hip to that, and they basically stopped exporting it to the U.S. So, you know, you have to acquire these drugs in a real secretive way. It's almost like buying like illegal drugs, you know, on the street. Like if you or I wanted to buy something on the street, you know, it's not, you know, it's really bizarre. That's the only thing I can think of, you know.
And this was going to be lethal injection, right, Haley?
Yes. All of those cases were going to be lethal injection. There hasn't been an execution held in Arkansas. An electric chair based execution since 1990. Mm-hmm. And every execution since then, but there hasn't been a execution in Arkansas since 2005 under former Governor Huckabee.
Mm. So you guys have gone 12 years without an execution. Well, that's pretty good. I mean that in and of itself suggests to me that forcing these prisoners to wait that long to be killed in and of itself is cruel and unusual. But again, you know, as we've discussed in the past on the program, that's like a standard that's wide enough to drive a Mack truck through, because it has to be both cruel as well as unusual.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm befuddled here, and I hate to use that word. Why in the hell are we discussing this bullshit? Because we already know carfentanil will kill you in micrograms. Like, quit. So what the fuck? Why are we talking about this bullshit? I don't believe in a death penalty, but they were serious about it. They would be using carfentanil. People are dropping dead left and right. Query me that. Somebody
asked
the question.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll take a run at it, Todd. The concerns with all the lethal injection killings are the agony involved. And, yeah, carfentanil will kill you deader than Pharaoh's cat. But they cannot prove that the person is not suffering a cruel and unusual punishment in the process. And while people are making bathtub carfentanil, and it's coming from China, even China won't sell us the retail grade, capitalist grade, to use to kill people.
I don't understand why we're using chemicals at all.
just line them up and shoot them?
Oh, tons of industrial machines that basically take people to Greece and to totally denature any tissue that's left. There's nothing to be found. And seems like it's less crueler to die before they even knew something hit them. But, you know, I mean, if we have to kill somebody at all, they shouldn't even know they got killed.
Sort of like cows in a meatpacking plant where they just, like, hit them in the head, like, you know.
Well, actually one process I'm thinking of, you know, we would go out of our way to prevent any contact with human tissue because nothing would be found. And, I mean, it was... Oh, probably less than a thousandth of a second, maybe far less than that. And again, there's no possibility of transmitting pain. There is no cleanup. And there's so many industries that are like this where they go out of their way trying to figure out how not to have people contact.
So Snork, what is a manner of death that only takes like a quarter, like a hundredth of a second or a thousandth of a second that could be used for executions? Is there what exactly is that?
It was a press for adiabatic forming of metals. It immediately takes the metal up above its melting point just for a microsecond, and it doesn't have enough time to flow yet. But you can reshape it at those temperatures or those pressures, and immediately after the release, it is already back, and you can touch it.
So you pour molten metal over people, or what are you talking about?
No, you just take their pressure. Somebody else was cooking hot dogs with them this way too. They use less pressure than we did, but they when you change the pressure on something extremely rapidly.
Oh,
it
okay.
changes the force, but the human tissue is totally breaks down when you take it. I mean, you know,
it's sort of like you're thrown out in it's sort of like being thrown into the vacuum of space.
Yeah, you know,
you die instantly, basically.
Even faster, I would say 100 nanoseconds. When you saw it happen, you just saw like Bewitched. The machine would be in one position, there'd be a horrible sound, and you just suddenly notice it in the other position. There's no sense of it moved at all.
Hmm. And there's nothing left of them, or what?
There would be nothing left of a human, yeah.
Jeez.
Like I said, Lawrence Livermore came in and, you know, studied our machinery, and they're looking at, you know, what was happening in it, and took down all the equipment. And
what is this called?
This was an adiabatic forming machine. It's not really common, but it works with metals beyond the speed of deformation. I mean, force can't be transmitted in a metal faster than this went. If you hit something at extremely high speeds, like a piece of paper will just separate. It won't bend or anything. A piece of aluminum foil can be sitting out there flat when it's hit at, you know, Mach 2 or above. And, you know, you see the damage that getting hit at 20 miles an hour can do.
Well, we better make sure that those machines are kept out of the FEMA camps that Obama built, you know?
I was going to say, let's not give anybody any ideas, okay? By the way, another reason, Snork, you mentioned worrying about the Zumwalt class destroyer. Lee in New York just sent me a note. For tonight's obligatory Star Trek reference. This is a real reason to worry. The USS Zumwalt is commanded by Captain James Kirk. Not a joke. Of course, then again, he may be easily distracted by some green woman. But, you know, there's that. Hey, Charlie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we hadn't heard from you yet.
Well, I was just sitting back listening to everybody. I believe really the reason that we're in the Middle East is because of these holy rolling nut jobs.
Well, I don't. I don't think the United States gets involved in anything of a military nature that doesn't have dollar signs attached to it.
Yeah.
Our first forays over there had to do with coddling the royal house of Ibn Saud. And out of that, you get the Arab American Oil Company. And then a little while later, Churchill calls his old, Winnie calls his old pal Ike and says,
"Ike, these damned wogs are driving me mad. Can't you help us out in overturning their democratically elected government before this little brown man Mossadegh that begins to think that he owns the oil under all of that land?"
And where Harry Truman had told Churchill to go up a rope, Ike said, "Well, sure thing, Winnie. We're buddies." And that's when the CIA got its feet wet. It had formerly been the OSS during the Second World War. But it got its feet wet by overturning the democratically elected government of the people of Iran and installing Shah Reza Pahlavi on the peacock throne. And, of course, along the way, we also supported the creation of Israel and all the hell and damnation that arose out of that. And ta-da! Very few people, as I've said before, know the fact that when the Iranian Revolution took place in the late 1970s, yes, the people were marching through the streets with big posters of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, but nobody ever mentions the fact that they were also carrying big posters of Mohammad Mossadegh, the prime minister who had been deposed by the CIA and spent the rest of his life under house arrest. There's money to be made. There is money to be made.
I just, you know, it just boggles my mind.
Bob.
I'm sorry, Todd, what?
No, me. It's lithium. Afghanistan is the Saudi Arabia of lithium.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's one of the single largest, they think, one of the single largest caches of lithium on Earth, which might be kind of important for our battery technology. Yep.
But, you know, it just, it boggles my mind why those people just cannot get along in the Middle East. You know, it's kind of like the Palestinian Arabs. The people in Jordan don't want them. You know, everybody's got their own little kingdom over there, and it's kind of like, this is our kingdom, you stay out. And, you know, it just causes strife. There's plenty of land over there for people to live on if they would just, you know, live together and forget about the boundaries and just say, okay, we're going to make the best of it, and everybody live where there's room.
Yeah, but to that extent, you're correct. Religion gets in the way. My God said, this is my land. No, my God said, your land is my land. Well, my God said, your land is my land. Die, heretic! And there goes the party.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame.
And so, right. And
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Haley.
Oh, something just come over the wire. There has been a judge in Little Rock has issued a restraining order against the state of Arkansas from using execution drugs. I'm going to post the link right into the
flat out, not with regard to this prisoner or that prisoner.
It's a blanket. This is a story from KTHV. Pulaski County Circuit Judge Wendell Griffin has issued a temporary restraining order Friday against the state of Arkansas, effectively halting the scheduled executions until further notice. According to court, okay, I'll post it.
And are your circuit judges elected or appointed?
Oh, they're elected. Even the Supreme Court judges are elected.
Well, somebody won't be getting reelected next year, because I'm sure the Christians will raise incomprehensible amounts of hell over what's going on here. Because they want people dead.
Well, he's in a safe district, this particular judge, and he's very much a progressive judge. But there are other areas of Arkansas where there are not so progressive judges, as is the Supreme Court of Arkansas, which is pretty much been taken over by the right wing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm frankly surprised that ruling came down. But now it'll go up.
I'm sure there's going to be developments all weekend, and the story will be in flux for the next few days.
Hello?
Yeah, Todd.
Oh, you know what? This is amazing. People are covering a lot of topics, and you have all these knowledgeable people online. And
you're knowledgeable, too.
I wouldn't say that. All I'm saying is that I wish more of America. I'm just disappointed, my fellow American, in that we have such an ill-informed populace now. And look at where we are. Look at this bullshit we're dealing with, because people are fucking stupid. And they refuse to learn. It's one thing to be stupid, but it's another thing to recognize you're stupid and make, say, hey, maybe I need to learn something. But I'm not seeing that. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing success today in the paper. These people are so pissed off about that goddamn flag.
You mean their heritage?
Yes, it's some bullshit. What the? You know, we got this congresswoman running. She's running to take Mulvaney's seat, a Republican, and that's her damn platform. They sent me I don't know how the fuck I got on the Republican roll. Somehow they got me on the mailing list because my neighbor's not on it. None of us around here are Republicans, I don't think. I know my neighbors aren't, but why am I the only one getting this? And, you know, this woman, her name is Few. And she's not even in my district, but whatever. She's upstate in Spartanburg area. But what I'm saying is that why would you even run on that platform? And see, people who don't live down here, you might not understand it. It's complicated because everybody that likes the flag is not a redneck and race and prejudice. Because, you know, we all know prejudice, racist, bias is all different. But, it's very disturbing. Why are we even having this discussion? And we're dealing with international heavy issues that these folks don't understand because they don't want to fund the schools and they think the world is 5,000 years old. You know, it's almost too much sometimes. It's like, goddamn.
Well, I understand that, Todd, but by the same token, if a white guy stands up and says, this isn't a symbol of slavery, well, like I said, he doesn't get to say that. And if he says Robert E. Lee is a hero of ours in Virginia, he doesn't get to say that either, because I'm pretty sure there's a significant portion of the population of Virginia that doesn't feel anything resembling hero worship with regard to that nasty old slave owner.
Oh, but that's treason. See, that's what I'm
I mean, that's treason. Like you know what I heard you say tonight? Lincoln thought it was a rebellion because it just, you know, they're just acting up. They're a little, you know, they'll get over it. I mean, we had this wonderful nation. He was like, well, we had this wonderful nation. And he wasn't all about black people. He would prefer us to go to Liberia.
Yeah, till Frederick Douglass straightened him up.
So, you know, it's just very saddening. It's too much. I mean, we have two or three generations of people who have never grown up around people who don't look like them because of different things, redlining and covenants and things like that. And it's very sad. It's just so fucking sad. It's unnecessary and it's sad. And see, this is why we need to be unified, because we have bullshit like North Korea. You know, that's serious. This other shit is peripheral. It's made up bullshit. It's not made up, but it's not. This North Korea thing is real. You know, that might be the one time we might have to do something, maybe. But I believe in heavy-handed diplomacy first, all the time. You can't go wrong. You know what? Why not call them up? Why not call those people up and say, hey, you know, I hope you have a nice Founders Day. Even if you don't mean it. I have neighbors I don't like. You have neighbors who burn coal. You hate that shit. And it filters into your goddamn house. But I bet you say hello in the morning.
Well, yeah.
Maybe, you know. Okay. Maybe I sound like a pissed off old dude. Get off my lawn. I don't know. Correct me.
Not necessarily, no.
No, you're making a good point, friend. Sincerely.
Hey, could I change the subject?
Yeah.
You know what put a smile on my face this week?
Should we be beyond war by now? I mean, if you really look at what war is about, like somebody said, it's about money for a certain group of people. Because there's enough for everybody. There is enough for everybody on this planet, basically.
But they want it all, Todd.
Is my mic working?
Yes, it is.
Oh. I just wanted to say
everybody.
Wait, hold up, Todd. Hold up, Todd. Time out. Go, Sparky.
I just want to say what put a smile on my face this week was the news about Bill O'Reilly. Because if that sucker's gone, serves him right, the way he fucked up my parents' brains.
Oh, well put. Well put.
It's great. Awesome point, Duncan.
It'll be George. I guess you can call it the revenge of George Tiller, the baby killer, right?
Well, but the thing is, is he gone?
Indications are he's going to be.
His advertisers have bailed, but history has indicated it doesn't matter.
And here's the next question. If he is gone, how long till MSNBC hires him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they hired
New York seconds.
They hired Greta Van Suckerpunched.
Who's gone? That's a foul person. My line, you know, I get the funny line. Who's gone?
O'Reilly, we hope. And NBC hired Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. Note coming in from Steve in China. Enjoying discussing killing. Funny how we don't seem to have all these sorts of technical problems with providing euthanasia for those who seek for it. I guess human compassion and the pursuit of state-sponsored vendetta just don't get along so well. Oh, but I have no problem with the death penalty. Only the justice system that can't seem to get it right on all too many occasions. Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport says, in regard to the death penalty, I don't know if there's some push to get Trumpansies hot and bothered or something, but there was a front-page story in my newspaper today in Shreveport about trying to get rid of the death penalty in Louisianistan. Almost looks like a trend, doesn't it? And thank you, Billable Rick. Billable Rick says, I'm going to throw in $25 for last week and a late fee of 10. That's huge. That'll take us down. Well, I calculated the 25 last week, so that'll take us down to 225. And if anybody else wants to keep knocking it down, maybe get it below 200, that would be awesome, too.
Well, Arkansas, they're on a roll. I mean, you may have talked about this earlier, where they're going to execute some guy that's mentally challenged, and they've got a whole slate of people that they're going to keep going.
If they can get away with it, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And so, thank you, Todd, for joining in. I'm hoping there. You got to tell me before you go, Todd. Will there be barbecue this weekend?
Please.
Will there be barbecue this weekend, Todd?
Oh, yeah. See, it takes a minute. The line is in that. Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. My wood is seasoned, as it always is. And, oh, my God. Yes, we're going to have. Thank you for getting me on the food tip. Yes. There's good food and not that many insects yet. So, you know. For folks who like Easter, there's lamb, there's turkey burgers, there's...
And you know what? That's something that cannot be overestimated or overstated. Lamb done in a smoker is magnificent if you're a lamb person.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to do this rub. I would get an iron skillet and toast sesame seeds in it, get raw sesame seeds and toast them myself. Crush them up in a mortar and pestle, and then work in lemon pepper and garlic powder and onion powder and oregano. And just work it till it's all blended together real, real nice. And pat that stuff all over a piece of lamb with a little bit of maybe, you know, canola oil or something, and then pat that stuff onto it. And then put the smoke to it and put the thermometer in it and pull it out at about, you know, 120 degrees.
Man, that's good eating.
Oh, yeah.
Low and slow, Bob.
Low and slow, Todd. Low and slow.
Holy gosh.
But if you've never put lamb in a smoker, it's worth trying.
Damn.
Yeah, you got to try that rub. You got to try that rub, Todd.
I'm doing it.
All right, everybody.
I'm getting the Kaneka.
Yeah, got to get it before you get. Yeah, have it for Easter, man. You will cry. You will call me off air. You will leave a message on that phone. All right, y'all. Thanks, everybody. Y'all took a so-so Friday and turned it into a good one, and I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Thanks to everybody who jumped in to help us knock down some of the fundraising hole and keep Lassie from having to run off and, you know, do the Lassie thing and, you know. Right. So as of right now, when we start up on More In Monday, we will have a $425 fundraising goal. But that's not nearly as scary as 510, 520, 530. So maybe with our subscribers and everything, maybe it'll even come down some over the weekend, or somebody listening to the podcast will go, ooh, that's a little scary. Let's get back to normal. So thanks, everybody. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who spend your precious, finite time, which I so very much respect, in sharing in this ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, and thank you, Utility Chat Room Moderator Steve. Thank you, News Ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful weekend.